Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Lorraine Warren, Ed and Lorraine, we used to have them on every year.
Yep.
And they are now rock stars. All these movies out now.
Of course.
They are the world's most famous ghost hunters, I would say.
I would say yes, definitely.
This is Lorraine's last appearance on the show. What year was that? 2010. So let's go back 11 years. This is Lorraine Warren's last time on the show.
Hello, Lorraine.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
It's an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you
and
so
We still miss Ed.
I'll miss him forever, honey.
Yeah. Lorraine is like a paranormal afterlife ghost chasing person.
Right.
Ed died. How many years has it been now?
06.
06. And before he died, did you guys make some kind of a, code? Like, hey, if I'm going to try to contact you, this is how it's going to be?
We didn't make a code, no. But he did. He was able to come back to me.
Really?
It was really, really beautiful.
How long after he died did he come back?
Maybe about 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Wow.
And
2 weeks.
How did
yes.
he do it?
You know, I get teary. No matter how many times I say it, I always knew when Ed was at peace and Ed was happy, if I heard him whistle. Now, it was his birthday. Went to his gravesite. And I said, honey, if you were here today, I'll tell you, I remember what we would be doing. We're going to our favorite place for breakfast, and it's my treat. It's the Bluebird in Easton. Somebody from the back, one of the owners, came out and said to me, you're Mrs. Warren? I said, yes, I am. She said, well, when the dishwasher came in this morning at 5 o'clock, he called my home and said, I'm scared. And I'm leaving. And they said, leaving? Why are you leaving? He said, when I came in, I heard a man whistling. I had him sit right across from me. I said, you tell me, sir, exactly what happened. He says, I came in at 5 o'clock this morning. And when I came in, I could hear a man whistling. How do you know? It was a man. It was a real man whistling twice. I said, I guess Ed got here before I did. He always teased me about being late.
Wow. Huh.
That is awesome. So that was the first time.
That was Lorraine's last appearance on the show. That is some story.
Yeah.
We miss her. And I wish she was around to see all the success.
Yeah, exactly,
it's
yeah.
It's just, they're rock stars now, all of those movies.
I was watching the Conjuring over the weekend. I forgot that she's got a very small cameo in the movie. So the first time they're showing the Warrens doing like some kind of a lecture, like at like a college hall or something, she's one of the people right in the front row. She's seated right there. She's unmistakable.
Right?
You can't miss her. The camera pans right by her. You're like, oh, she's right there.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, she heckled sticks them. Out. It's great.
She heckled him. He went, hogwash.
I don't believe it.
This is hogwash.
Son-in-law to the Warrens, Tony Spiro's on. Did you get a chance to hear what we just played, Tony?
No, I didn't hear it, Chaz. I just woke up a little while ago.
Ah, well, good morning.
Morning to you.
It was Lorraine's last appearance on the show, and she was talking about signs that Ed would give her
mm-hmm.
after he passed.
Okay.
I think I remember you telling us a story.
Yeah, I don't know which ones she might have talked about, but there was one, there was two that I know of. There was one just before he passed. The night before he passed, she was in her living room, and she looked towards the bedroom where Ed was, and she saw Ed's father standing in the doorway, and psychically. And she said, hey, that's Frank. What's he doing here? Why is he appearing now? The next day, Ed passed away.
Wow.
It might have been Frank saying goodbye or getting ready to take Ed, or to meet him. But the other one was at the Bluebird. I don't know, did she speak about the Bluebird?
Yeah, the whistling.
Yep.
Yep, that's the one. And that one there, she told that story a lot. And there's another one, though, too, that I just recalled. If she didn't talk about this one, she might have, because there's only so many stories, where she, not long after he passed, maybe 6 months or so, she got called on to a demonic case in Trumbull. Did she talk about that one?
No.
Okay, so she got called in on that case, and there was a Trumbull police officer who's having some kind of demonic entities in his home, and things are happening in that house. And she related the story even to me. She said, you know, I don't know why, Tom, but I didn't call you into the case. For some reason, I just wanted to go on this thing alone to see if I could possibly do it without any help, without Ed. She said, every time we used to go on a bad case, you know, Ed and me were together. She said, I don't know why I didn't ask you to come with me, but I went to this Trumbull house, and I was speaking to this police officer and his wife. And I was standing in the middle of the dining room, and I was feeling the energies around. And she said there was dark forces in that house. And she said suddenly she felt a tingling in her left hand. And then she felt Ed's hand grab her left hand. And it was like an energy force, like a tingling force. And she knew it was Ed standing right next to her. And then she told me later, she said, from that second on, because I was questioning myself, she said, can I do this kind of work alone or without Ed? And she said, when that happened, she knew immediately that Ed was by her side and was allowing her and giving her the okay, that it's okay, you could do it. You got the strength to do it because I'll always be with you. She said she felt that psychic, you know, she heard him say that psychically to her. So, yeah, there was several times that she had signs that Ed was there. The Bluebird was one of them with the whistling sound, because Ed did love to whistle. And if he was happy, he would whistle. And so that and the one in Trumbull was a big one, because that was made her continue on in the work. And after that, of course, that was 2006. After that, she called me in on all the cases, or I'd call her in on a case if I got one, because it's the same email. And so that's it. That's exactly how she kept going on in 2006.
So they worked as partners. She was the psychic, right?
Right.
And then what was
right.
He was, what would he?
That was known as a religious demonologist. So a demonologist, Chaz, is the study of devils and demons. It's their MO. In other words, knowing all about how demonic entities and devils and demons operate and what they are, you know, how they appear, what they can do, what they can't do. So when he walked into a house with Lorraine, he had the knowledge of if there was something there, how to deal with it. But to know for sure, if there were no signs immediately when you walked in the house, to know for sure, it's beautiful to have a psychic, because he could just turn to Lorraine, and that's what he did most of the time. He'd say, Lorraine,
what do you think?
Is there anything here? And she'd look at Ed, she'd call him aside. She said, Ed, there's no dark entities here, but I do pick up like a human entity that passed away in the house years ago. It's nothing horrendous, she'd say. Or she'd say, yes, Ed, there's something inhuman here, and we got to be careful what we're doing here. There's something inhuman. She would know that through her psychic, her sixth sense, that he didn't have. You know, he had the knowledge of, okay, you tell me what it is, and now we know how to deal with it. Because he didn't have psychic ability, just like I don't, really. I mean, we all have a little, but not a lot.
What's the house in Bridgeport that we always talk about?
Oh, yeah, the one with the talking cat and the rotating fridge.
966 Lindley Street.
That's it.
And that was horrendous. That case was horrendous, actually. I don't know if you guys know a lot about it. But it was 1974. November 1974 is about a year or so after before Amityville. It was before Amityville. And that was a case where Ed went in with a priest and Lorraine, and it was the Gooden family. And he went in that house, and the phenomena that they saw in that house was tremendous.
By the time Ed got there, this was already in the newspaper, right? Because cops and firefighters both said things.
Yeah, they witnessed it.
Yeah, Well, I don't think it was in the newspaper yet. I think when Ed started to talk to reporters and things about what was going on, that's when everything started to happen, and people started to hear about it. And then they would gather around the house, you know, just bystanders, and that's when the police were called in for crowd control.
Oh, wow.
And there was so many people standing outside there. In fact, Judy, my wife, was one of the people in the crowd. That's Ed and Lorraine's daughter. And she was one of the people in the crowd. She said it was crazy, the amount of people were there. But what happened and why it was like people said, oh, it's a hoax after a while, was because the commissioner of police, his name was Walsh at the time, Commissioner Walsh, he was upset that all these cops had to be there for crowd control because now he's paying a lot of overtime to the city, from the city. And he said, well, the good little girl is doing it, Marcia Gooden, she's doing it, Marcy. She's doing it. And the phenomenon that was happening in the house, no human being can do it. It was like they had these small TV sets. They would topple over simultaneously, three of them in separate rooms. The refrigerator would move out from the wall 6 or 7 inches, a 450-pound refrigerator.
I remember hearing that.
Yep, chairs would stack upon one another, like just like, you know, dining room chairs would just start stacking upon one another. And we got a police report from one of the cops, Wilson, that he was in the house. He backed up his partner, he said, when he first got the call. He went in the house, and here's what he said in the report. He says, I walked into the house. He goes, and I looked on the wall, and the crucifix on the wall fell off the wall, and a picture fell off the wall and crashed to the floor. He says, here's what he said in the report. I immediately left the house, sat in my cruiser, and waited for my partner.
He was frightened.
And so there was like 9 or 10 cops in the house at one time, and Lorraine was there, and Ed was there, and the priest. And Lorraine recalled to me, she said, those police officers were so, like, taken by what they saw that before they left their shift, they all kneeled down in front of the priest, Father Bill. They all knelt down and said, Father, before we go home, can you bless us so we don't take anything back with us?
Yep.
Get
and,
this good idea. Funk off of us.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were so frightened that they would probably take, because they couldn't believe what they were seeing. You know, they're used to fighting things off with, you know, nightsticks or their hands or using a gun if they have to defend themselves. But there's no defense for stuff that was happening, especially when, you know, the voice from the cat is singing Jingle Bells from around the cat. And the priest other people heard that.
Who saw the cat singing Jingle Bells?
Many people. Ed heard it. Lorraine heard it. The priest heard it. And it was like so dumbfounding to them that they couldn't believe that this was real, except Ed told me later, because this is like 5 years before I met Ed. I met him in 79. He told me, he said, that's called a materialized larynx. So I said, what are you talking about, Ed? He said, the entity, whatever it is using the vocal cords of a person or a cat or an animal or anything to make those sounds to scare you.
Huh.
That's exactly what it was, a materialized larynx.
I am out of there.
Seriously.
Like, out of there. I'm out of there before this happens.
Right. Well, I'm recording the cat singing Jingle Bells, though. Yeah, that part's cool.
The cat's going to be like, where'd you go?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it sounds like crazy and funny. People would laugh if they heard it. But if you were sitting in your house, and all of a sudden your cat starts singing a song or talking to you, that would freak you out so badly. Like, what? That can't be real, you know. But you heard it. I heard it. It's real.
I've had nights like that.
Yeah.
No, but it's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not like just the cat said that. That's enough.
Yeah.
But there's all this other stuff. Crucifix falling, pitcher smashing.
Chair stacking,
refrigerator moving.
Right.
Yep. And the police saw it. The police wrote reports to the effect that it was true. Firemen were there, and firemen saw it. And there's interviews from firemen also that says, we can't explain what it was. Was it pipes? Was it something rattling? No, it wasn't that. We were there, and we saw this happen, and we can't explain it, they'd say. And we hope it never happens again, is what they'd say. So that was a wild case, and the house is still there. But apparently there's not much going on, even though I heard that several years ago, maybe 10 years ago or so, that a guy repairing a furnace was in that house, and he left the house. He said, there's something dark in this house. So who knows? I mean, who knows? So
maybe the furnace blew back on him.
Exactly.
That'll do it.
He became dark. It's cold exhaust, sir.
So you guys come to the Paragon or what? You coming to the Paragon?
Yes.
All right. All right, good, because, you know, we still got some tickets available.
We're bringing a group.
Oh.
Yeah, I know you are. And don't worry, we're going to take good care of you guys.
So it's Saturday and Sunday, the 30th and the 31st in Waterbury.
Yes.
Ashley will link up on the radio station website.
Right. And all they got to do, people have to do it, too, besides your website, is www.warrens.net. Plural, warrens.net, and on the cover page of warrens.net, you'll see buy tickets for the 31st. We're going to have a lot of artifacts in the museum, too, so, and I know a lot of people want to see the real Annabelle doll, so we're having...
told me not to stare at it. Or into its eyes.
You shouldn't stare at it because staring at it is tantamount to challenging it.
Oh, boy.
Plus, kind of rude.
You're going to be in trouble.
What are you looking at?
I don't even want to see it. I like, just show me where it is, and then I'm going to stay.
Just kind of glance over
it
casually?
No, I don't even want to see it.
It's like this, and it's no joke. You know, like you stare at a dog, and a dog can tell. It's like, now you're challenging that dog, and he starts barking at you. It's almost the same thing in the demonic realm. Why would you do that? I mean, first of all, don't challenge it verbally, like, hey, come to me or do something.
Oh,
to me.
Boy.
Do you think it
don't
still
ever
has...
do that.
Do you think
don't
ever do
that.
Why would you bring this?
I know. This is trouble.
We got enough problems in the state.
Bring a hand puppet.
I want people to know that.
Toasty.
That we take great precautions. And this is no joke.
Is this some kind of glass case with...
it's in a glass and wood case, and people say, a demon can go easily through that. Well, let me just explain why we do that. First of all, the glass case is for tactile protection, so you don't touch it. That's number one, with your hands. But number two is we have a special case. We had a special case built. Dan Rivera, my lead investigator, built that case. He's a craftsman for building cabinets, too. And he built this case, this wood case, but what he did is he went to a priest. He took the oil stain that he had, he took the water that he had, and he had the priest bless the water and the stain. And then when he made the cabinet, he mixed the water and the stain together and applied it to the cabinet.
Wow.
And that's not all he did. He also wrote the Lord's Prayer on the back of the, inside the cabinet behind the felt.
Ooh.
Well, then he
carved Tony Spears on Warren's son-in-law talking about the crazy Annabelle doll. That's going to be
Warren Burr. He carved three crosses in it, in the side of the case and in the front of the case. We have the St. Michael the Archangel prayer in print.
Not enough for me.
And she's tied to a hand truck.
I'm staying far away from it. Far away.
One more thing, Chaz. One more thing. We also have a priest bless the entire case and the doll before it's taken anywhere. And all the other artifacts, too. Blessed by a very pious and holy...
You should have two priests standing side by side next to the thing, like armed guards.
Yeah. Exactly. Little earpieces.
And we're gonna have a roping in front of it so nobody can even get close to the case.
Yeah,
they can only view it. They can take pictures. They can view it. And the other artifacts, the shadow doll, you know, the satanic idol and the dinosaur from the Brookfield case, all kinds of stuff we're going to have there in a separate room. That's going to be wild, and we're going to have guest speakers. We're going to have 50 vendors selling different merch, so it's going to be fun.
That'll be fun.
Be great.
Fun.
As long as I don't have red eyes when you walk
fun,
in here.
Right? Fun.
Just want your eyes, Chad.
Keep
want
me
your red.
That doll.
AJ, are you coming too or no? You're not coming, AJ?
Oh, I'm a scaredy cat. I'll admit it.
Come on, AJ. I thought you were Italian.
The only spirits I like are in bottles.
You shouldn't be afraid of that. But, you know, I mean, you should be afraid of it, actually.
Yes, I am.
As long as you are respectful of...
Yes, Tony, we should be afraid of that.
And
we saw the movie.
My underwear is telling me this.
Video going viral of a guy trying to pet a wild warthog.
Yeah.
Getting knocked on his backside. It's not clear if he was injured, but let's take a listen.
He's going to come up the steps. Oh, my goodness, and he's huge. I wonder if we can pet him.
No, don't.
Hello, boy. Help me. Help!
Nope.
Help me! Help!
I hope nobody helps him.
He's so proper. Help me! Help! I have fallen, and a warthog is attacking me. Help me! Help!
He does sound like Dudley Do-Right.
I'd be screaming like,
help me! Help!
Help! I'm help. So proper. Help me!
Help. I am in distress. Help!
I am bleeding profusely. from the wounds from the warthog. Help me, help me. I require some physician. I require medical assistance. A warthog.
Help, help me.
Help, help me.
Help me, help.
Help me, help. Even dying, they're like, you know, I'm so proper.
Ooh.
Excuse me.
No one sees that video and says, oh, that poor man.
Yeah, no. Dumbass.
This is everything you want to see from someone like, oh, I think we should pet it.
Right.
This is everything you want to see.
Yeah.
This is the best video ever.
It does not look cute. It looks pissed off when it's walking towards him. Yeah. And he goes, I wonder if we could pet him.
Well, it's not Pumbaa from The Lion King, so I don't know what this guy's thinking over here.
It's 10 seconds, and you get everything. You get the dumbass saying, I should pet it. You get the voice of reason in the back.
Don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
His proper wife saying, do not do
then
that.
Then the attack.
Don't.
Then the attack. And then the...
Help! Help me! And the emotion the two display during this.
Help me!
I mean, she's like, don't. Like, when she's tired, it's like, don't.
Yeah.
Right. It's like Willy Wonka when the kids are doing, no, stop, don't.
Stop touching, stop touching things.
I'm going to chew the gum. No, don't. Wait. Listen.
Great. Great acting.
Help!
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 Help me!
Help me!
Help me!
Help me. I have fallen.
It does sound very scripted, like
I am down on the ground and I am flailing.
I have fallen and I can't get up.
Look, is my arms flailed. Help, help me. Help me.
Help me.
Help me.
He talks it. He doesn't even scream it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no volume.
Oh, you know what this sounds like? This sounds like one of those like 1930s Western movies where the guy gets shot and he's holding his chest.
Oh!
And it takes him like 2 minutes to die.
Help me!
You got me, Ed!
Help. You shot me.
I can't believe it.
I have been shot.
Is this blood?
Look, I shall be avenged.
I see a horse in the distance. He bids me mount.
These are my final moments.
The sun is going down. Sunset of my life is fading upon me now. I must go. Oh, I'm dying.
I see those scenes. I'm like, you got four more bullets in there. You only shot him twice. Yeah, come on, empty it out.
Hit him again. Hit him again. He's still talking. For God's sake.
Help. Help me.
Help. Help me.
Nair.
Should put him in the Beatles song, Help. Help. I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. I need
lyrics.
Someone. Help.
Help.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anyone's help in any way. That was not a flubble.
AJ's tongue. Help! Help me!
Help, blah, 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 blah. Help me! Blah, blah, blah.
What did you say?
He said, shut up. Did you get that one? Nice and clear? Shut
help
up.
Me.
Shut and then up.
That
help
would,
me.
That would be blow. The worst if you're, you know, if you're dying and then you're just flubbling and the person's like, what are you saying?
That would be more explanatory than this. Help, help me.
That would be more explanatory than this?
Yes, because the guy's flailing and like fumbling his words. Obviously, he's in distress. You know what? Go screw off. To my left over here. Shut up.
I didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything.
Help, help me.
Get me out of this cage. Help, help me.
You, help me.
Help, help me.
I shall drop a bomb and you'll be running out of here.
Vince Neil fell off the stage.
Oh, my God.
The weekend.
Yeah.
I just feel this is becoming sad.
It is. You know? It is.
This guy just can't have a good time on stage.
No. It was like, what, 2 months ago when he got off the stage because he couldn't sing?
Yeah.
The band kept playing while he's saying, okay, well, we're going to be back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everybody. I can't do it.
Vince Neil suffered damaged ribs after falling from the stage. In the course of a Motley Crue live, so it was a solo performance Friday on the Monsters on the Mountain pageant in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
It's a mouthful right there.
Well, he was only on the mountain for a short period of time, then he fell off the mountain.
Exactly, became the mountain. Look out, here comes Vince!
In video from the incident via Blabbermouth, Neil and his band were in the course of performing Motley Crue's Don't Go Away Mad.
when the singer walked towards the end of the stage and he was encouraging the crowd to clap along, and I don't think he could see over his belly.
No.
And he just walked right off the stage.
Oh, my God. Also, he was there, and all of a sudden, wah!
Yeah, you really can't tell what's happening by this audio from the video, but you kind of get the moment he fell.
Yeah.
Whoop!
Whoa!
Whoa!
The last thing to go down was his hair.
Yeah.
His whole body fell, and his hair just sort of was there for a while, and then it was just whoop!
Yeah.
Just gone.
If you go to the Chaz and AJ Facebook page, it's on there.
He broke ribs.
Yeah.
Oh.
So he was rushed to the hospital in an ambulance, and they gave him x-rays, and he had broken ribs. So he wanted to come back and sing, but he can't sing on a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard he jumped.
He said he couldn't breathe.
No.
That's not...
Broken ribs are the freaking most painful.
Never experienced that. I want to either.
No, I don't want to either.
Yeah.
But I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, he went down hard.
He did. There, like, you could tell.
He had no idea what the end of the stage was because the look on his face, like, whoa!
It's true. Yep. He had no idea where the end was.
His arms flailed. Like, ah!
But the other thing that I notice is from this angle, where when he's falling, we can't tell where the bottom is.
Yeah. Mm.
So, like, he's gone. He disappears below, like, the top of the crowd. And there's more for him to fall still. Like, yeah. He's still going.
Supposedly, there were speakers down there, and he, like, fell between the stage and the speakers and hit the concrete.
Probably caught the edge of a speaker.
He's lucky he didn't, like, smash his face on the concrete.
That could have easily been a, you know...
Jaw.
Grape Lady.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Ow.
Imagine if he kept his mic on.
Right.
It hurts. I can't breathe. Stop,
I think it's hurt.
Stop. No. Ow. You did that really well.
Yeah, really.
Thank you. I've heard it a million times. One of my favorite sound clips of all time.
An excellent recreation.
No.
Yes.
Oh, I think he's really hurt.
I think he's really hurt.
Youch. That's my favorite.
Youch. Ooh, youch.
Youch.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what to say, you know?
Youch.
I don't think this guy has done a full show.
Not lately, no.
How the hell are they going to pull off the stadium tour? They're supposed to be the headliners.
Right. Well, first they're going to put him in bubble wrap.
Can you imagine 80,000 people going to see this?
They're going to put bubble wrap and use an invisible fence.
They got to get like that Axl Rose throne that he was sitting on when he broke his leg.
Right.
Or busted his hamstring or something, remember?
Right.
He's sitting on a chair on stage. It's like, yeah, just get a bed.
Or they'll put like trampolines around the stage so he falls, goes, bang, right back up again.
Like a Cirque du Soleil. Right? Cirque du Soleil.
All of a sudden he goes the wrong way. The crowd is punting him across.
Like those beach balls.
Like the beach ball.
Yeah.
Get them in. Boom. Boom.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It is.
You know?
It's not a bad guy, you know?
Nah, he's been through a hell of a lot
in
his life. But at the same time, there is some obligation you should have to your audience.
If you're the lead singer of a band, number one, just make sure your voice is in tune. And number two, you kind of got to look good.
So 0 out of 2.
Yeah. No, I think you got to keep yourself in shape and you got to be able to sing all night and not lose your breath. And
right.
You got to remember the words and hit the notes.
When I first heard he broke his ribs when he dropped his plate. Were you at Chili's?
Allie with the Ridgefield Playhouse on the show. Lots of great shows coming to the Playhouse. We're playing the writer game now. She'll give you a concert writer item. You connect that item to the artist. You go to that show. Mike in the car.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Which tribute/recreation band needs a hotel that must be a brand name 4-star minimum grade hotel? Which seems a little extreme for a tribute band.
Yes.
Is it? is it the Lords of 52nd Street on January 22nd, Fab Four on February 3rd, Dark Desert Eagles on February 26th, or One Night of Queen on April 13th?
Wow. One Night of Queen.
It is not One Night of Queen. Oh, although they do have other diva-like requests, but that's
really? Not gone with my first guest, then.
We got to get you off the phone here. So One Night of Queen, what did they ask for that was diva-like?
They just have, like, very specific, like, you can't get, you know, they like, sometimes they're very specific about the kind of, it's not just, like, soda or juice or, you know, chips.
Do you want brand
like,
names?
Very specific. Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
that's
they have, wild. You have to get this brand or they won't eat it.
Really? Well, you go hungry. Then you go hungry then.
No, it's just weird.
That, yeah.
You know.
You're not them.
I know you're using the word tribute, but you're cover.
You're not them.
Right. Right.
You worked at Walmart 4 weeks ago.
Treat me like I'm them.
It's fine to work at Walmart and then do what you love on the weekends. But, man, don't act like.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not Freddie Mercury. You're not Brian May.
We had an Eagles tribute play for us at the beach once.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to say, you know you're not Glenn Frey.
You do know that, right?
Because this might come to as a shock to you.
I'll show you a picture of him. That's not you.
All right. Okay. Emma in Wallingford. Who do you think it is?
I'm going with A, Lords. Good morning,
it
by
is.
The way.
It is. It's Lords of 52nd Street.
Why
correct.
Do you think that, Emma?
Well, why?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it would have been them. I don't know. I had a hunch.
Well, they are the real Billy Joel band.
They
so
are, yeah.
If anyone is going to be, like, a little demanding, they actually have the chops to do it.
Yeah, the only tribute person is the singer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
true.
Is the original band that played on all the hits.
Yep.
And they've traveled around the world, so I think they know they're done with crappy hotels.
Right.
Right.
As it should
be.
All right, Emma, hold on. We'll grab your number.
Good guys, too.
You're going to go to see them on when? January 22nd?
Yep, January 22nd.
Yep.
That's a fun show.
It is a fun show.
It is.
I do love those guys, Liberty DeVito and Richie Cannata. I mean,
he's
they're
a blast.
Great guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be good.
All right, let's go to round two. Jill in Milford.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
Okay. We were just talking about this, so I'll go to this one. Which rock legend only wants Cape Cod brand potato chips?
They I like this person
already. Those are the best.
If you're going to get potato chips, get good potato chips.
Get one of the dark ones.
They have to be Cape Cod.
The dark ones are great.
Is it Joan Jett on November 5th? Rick Wakeman on October 30th, Marshall Tucker Band on December 3rd, or Felix Cavalieri on January 20th?
Joan Jett.
It is not Joan Jett.
Meh. All right, thank you.
I don't think Joan Jett eats potato chips.
Yeah, I can't picture like munching on a bag of potato chips.
She seems like a cheese doodle girl.
Right.
I was just getting cheese doodles. Yeah, the crunchy kind, though. The crunchy.
Cheetos,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I know in the past she really likes grape juice, but
grape juice
keeps her regular.
It could be a Grace Potter moment.
It could be. Oh, no, not me. No, not me.
Pee.
Gotta go. Right, no.
And that would be tough to take a break with leather pants on.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Especially when you start sweating.
You say, yes. I'll take my pants off.
Gary in Torrington.
Hey, guys, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so what are my choices? I know it's not Joan Jett.
You have either Rick Wakeman on October 30th, Marshall Tucker on December 3rd, or Felix Cavalieri on January 20th.
Marshall Tucker.
It is not Marshall Tucker.
Marshall Tucker. Sorry.
All right. Thank you.
They're easy guys, Marshall Tucker, man.
Yeah, seriously.
Do they even ask for anything?
No.
Yeah, they have booze.
How do you
and
know?
Stuff. Yeah, they do.
Hold on. AJ, how do you know they don't?
I'm surmising.
Jean Mariano, Gold Star Mom, is on and Help Our Military Heroes Ambassador tell us about a VFW military ball coming up. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, hi. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Morning.
Tell us about this ball.
Good morning. Well, I will tell you, we've we as an auxiliary have only been in existence a year since August. So this is our first military ball, and we're pretty excited because it's going to be awesome. And this year, the theme is the Navy. And the keynote speaker is going to be Andy Stump, who is a former Navy SEAL with SEAL Team 5. And as a side note, he was a close friend of my son, Jason Lewis, who, yes, and so him coming is pretty awesome. And he's an awesome guy. You should look at some of his podcasts. And we're going to be having it at The Waterview in Monroe.
Love that place.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely beautiful venue. And it's Friday, November 12th from 6 to 11:30.
And where does the money go?
The money is obviously coming to the auxiliary, and it assists us with being able to do all the programs that we need to do that benefits veterans and their families.
That's awesome.
So when we know of a need, we're able to assist.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about your son, Jason?
Yes. Well, Jason was from Brookfield, Connecticut, Navy SEAL, and interesting story. Jason always was going to be a SEAL. He never had a plan B because as a mother who knew nothing about Navy SEALs, and once I learned about them, I said, do you have another plan if this doesn't work out? And he said, no, I'm going to be a SEAL. And I have to tell you, he was very good at what he did, absolutely loved it. He was successful, though short life, but he got married, three great kids. And you know what? I think not everybody gets to go out at the top of their game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as his mom, I'm serious when I tell you I am blessed. I am blessed. I'm blessed that I'm his mom, and I try to do as much as possible for veterans. And I get it. I understand the pain when you become a Gold Star family member. And I just think that's kind of my goal, is to try to fill the gap and be there for veterans, because those who've come back, they need patience and understanding and assistance from a program. So that's what we try to do.
That's beautiful work that you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always, when we talk to a veteran, we say thank you for your service, but it's the families as well who serve.
They give a lot.
Absolutely. This event sounds great. It's a $150 per person, but it's cocktail hour, three-course dinner, top shelf open bar, live DJ, raffles, pictures available for purchase.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This sounds like a good time. Yeah.
Good night, yep.
It will, and you don't have to be military to join us as long, it's open to the public. It is formal attire or uniform, and I will tell you that some from our post are actually going to be in their uniforms, so this should be very cool of that. Yeah, and some of these people have been out of the military for a while.
Formal wear, you mean like a tuxedo?
Right, or what I've said, just a really nice suit. Can't be khakis, and it certainly can't be flip-flops.
Why would you say that, for example? They're nice flip flops, but now forget about it. Now forget it.
He's going to wear his black.
My black tie flops.
Leather, yes.
Right, with a little bow on them.
Exactly right. Yeah. Every toe will have a tie on it. Yep.
Yeah. Nope.
Oh. But now you miss out because you brought it up. So.
No. Well, you can do that.
Yeah,
you
good,
can wear
you.
It with a bow. You'll be freezing, but
yeah, I'm
okay.
Good.
10 bows.
Well, Gene, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to link up to the event on the radio station website, and
I appreciate it.
Thank you for everything you do. We appreciate you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.